ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 ॐ नमो भगवते
Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, creation, chapter number 2, divinity and divine service, text number 6. Svaipum samparo dharmo yuto bhakti rudhokshaje ahaitaki apratihata yayatma supersedati. The supreme occupation, Dharma, for all humanity, is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. I say and you repeat, the supreme occupation, Dharma,
the supreme occupation, Dharma,
for all humanity, is that by which
men can attain
to loving devotional service,
unto the transcendent Lord.
Such devotional service, must be unmotivated and uninterrupted,
to completely satisfy the self.
Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. In this statement, Sri Suta Goswami answers the first question of the sages of Naimisharanya. The sages asked him to summarize the whole range of revealed scriptures and present the most essential part so that fallen people or the people in general might easily take it up. The Vedas prescribe two different types of occupation for the human being. One is called the Pravritti Marg, the path of sense enjoyment, and the other is called the Nivritti Marg, or the path of renunciation. The path of enjoyment is inferior, and the path of sacrifice for the supreme cause is superior. The material existence of the living being is a diseased condition of actual life. Actual life is spiritual existence, or Brahma Bhuta, or Bhagavatam 4:30:20, existence, where life is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. Material existence is temporary, illusory, and full of miseries. There is no happiness at all. There is just a futile attempt to get rid of the miseries, and temporary cessation of misery is falsely called happiness. Therefore, the path of progressive material enjoyment, which is temporary, miserable, and illusory, is inferior. But devotional service to the Supreme Lord, which leads one to eternal, blissful, all-cognizant life, is called the superior quality of occupation. This is sometimes polluted when mixed with the inferior quality. For example, adoption of devotional service for material gain is certainly an obstruction to the progressive path of renunciation. Renunciation or abnegation for ultimate good is certainly a better occupation than enjoyment in the diseased condition of life. Such enjoyment only aggravates the symptoms of disease and increases its duration. Therefore, devotional service of the Lord must be pure in quality, without the least desire for material enjoyment. One should therefore accept the superior quality of occupation in the form of devotional service of the Lord, without any tinge of unnecessary desire, fruitive action, and philosophical speculation. This alone can lead one to perpetual solace in his service. We have purposely denoted dharma as occupation, because the root meaning of the word dharma is that which sustains one's existence. A living being's sustenance of existence is to coordinate his activities with his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Krishna is the central pivot of living beings, and he is the all-attractive living entity or eternal form amongst all other living beings or eternal forms. Each and every living being has his eternal form in the spiritual existence, and Krishna is the eternal attraction for all of them. So sometimes people say, well, we actually originated in the Brahma Jyoti, in a formless condition, and now we've come here, we've gotten a material form, now we can get a spiritual form. But that philosophy is negated by this statement of Srila Prabhupada, that each and every living being has his eternal form in the spiritual existence, as we were mentioning last night also in the lecture. Krishna is the complete whole, and everything else is his part and parcel. The relation is one of the servant and the served. It is transcendental and is completely distinct from our experience in material existence. This relation of servant and the served is the most congenial form of intimacy. One can realize it as devotional service progresses. Everyone should engage himself in that transcendental loving service of the Lord, even in the present conditional state of material existence. That will gradually give one the clue to actual life and please him to complete satisfaction. Om Agyanatim Anandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shigarave Nama. So, please him to complete satisfaction. Do you want complete satisfaction?
Why not?
What do you want? You want no satisfaction, partial satisfaction, or complete satisfaction?
Complete.
What's your choice? Complete, okay. If you want complete satisfaction, then you must come to pure unalloyed bhakti. We heard this argument the other night. While it's not possible to achieve pure devotional service, if that's the fact, it's not, you know, then it's lifetime. We may not. But to say that it's impossible is not true. We should endeavor for it. To the best of our capability, we should endeavor for pure devotional service. Because without it, we cannot be completely satisfied. Sometimes, as Prabhupada points out here, one takes to devotional service with material desires. Let's see how he states it. He says, for example, adoption of devotional service for material gain, and certainly an obstruction of the progressive path for renunciation. Elsewhere, Prabhupada mentions engaging in devotional service in exchange for material power, that I can enter into this organization and I can move up the ladder and become, you know, a powerful leader, and that way gratify my desire for material power, you see. Sometimes Krishna will allow someone to do that, to give them a chance to become purified and do a lot of service. But if one maintains such a desire, then sooner or later you lose everything. Because the goal is to become, you know, all material power. Because the goal is to become a pure devotee. That's what this movement is for, is to create persons who are pure devotees. That's what ISKCON is all about. So we should be very careful that we're absolutely pure in our desire. We have noticed we have no agenda. You see, of our personal agenda, political agenda. We simply want to become pure devotee, that's all. Have no other agenda. I simply want to fully surrender myself to Lord Sri Krishna. Give my whole life to serve Prabhupada's mission in the whatever way I can best serve his mission in this way. That's all. Not that I have to have this, I have to have that. No. Sibi, how can I best serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? That's all. So this mood of being completely detached and totally dedicated to doing whatever will best serve Srila Prabhupada's mission, Lord Chaitanya's mission. When you come to this position of pure consciousness, you see, then there's no more anxiety. Because as long as I have some material agenda that I may be trying to get in exchange for my devotional service, then I may get that, I may not get that. And that will be always a cause of anxiety. And even if I get it, it'll still be a feverish condition of mind because I may lose it. And no material arrangement can actually satisfy the living being anyway. So the only thing that can really satisfy us is this ahaitaki bhakti, unalloyed devotional service. It's such an important concept that we have no motives for our devotional service. Prabhupada often quotes the second half of this verse, ahaitaki apritiyata yatma suprasediti. The devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to satisfy the self. It's interesting to note that unless it is unmotivated, you see, in other words, if there's any material motive for doing our service, it will be broken also. Interrupted. If it's going to be a pratiyata or unbroken, you know, 24 hours a day, then it has to be unmotivated also. If I have some material motive for doing devotional service, then I can't remain 24 hours a day. I have to think about my material desires also. So these two things go hand in hand, ahai tiki, a pratiyata, both things. They go together. If you're unmotivated, you'll be uninterrupted. If you're uninterrupted, you must be unmotivated. Otherwise, how could you be uninterrupted? If you have any material motive, you won't get the taste that will enable you to go on 24 hours a day engaging in devotional service. You will not get the taste. But if you have no ulterior motive, you simply want to purely serve Lord Sri Krishna. No other motive is there. Then you can relish the sweetest nectar at every minute. We simply want to be servant of Krishna, servant of Guru, and servant of the Vaishnavas. We have no agenda of our own that we want to bring forward. We just want to serve, that's all. This is the mood in which you can become supremely happy, totally free of anxiety. I remember seeing sometimes different moods in our movement. One devotee, he was visiting our Atlanta temple. He had come from New York. He had something to do there. I don't know what, but he was complaining, "I'm getting zero cooperation from the temple president." This person is no longer a part of ISKCON, actually, now. This is not the attitude. We are meant to cooperate with those persons. We are meant to cooperate with them, the persons who are in the leadership positions. That's how an organization works. Any organization. It's like you work in a company and say, well, the boss doesn't cooperate with me. What kind of attitude is that? That'll get you fired right away, isn't it? The boss doesn't cooperate with me. That means you're trying to put yourself as the boss when you're not in that position. So we actually are meant to. There's a certain leadership structure that Prabhupada gave, the GBC, the temple presidents, to our society. So we are meant to work within that structure. Take our subordinate role to our higher authority. That's Prabhupada told me. He trained me that way. To do whatever the temple president says without question, whether it's right or wrong. Of course, if it goes too, if he starts saying we should offer eggs to the deities, that's another matter, of course. But, you know, as long as he's following the instructions in Prabhupada's books, then we have to cooperate. It's our duty. So in this way, we have to have no material motive and just be humble servants. And that way, our movement will be very strong, cohesive. There will be solidarity. When we can work together cooperatively, then we're very strong. But if we splay it out, you know, this click, that click, so many clicks, doing their own programs, this movement will not become the leading, the world leader that it's meant to be by Prabhupada's orders. The British were a very small number of people when they came to India, you see. But they cooperated amongst themselves, very tight-knit. And because of that, even with a small number of Britishers who were actually in India, they ruled the whole country. Millions of people, with a small handful of Britishers, they ruled all of India. Why? Because they were very tight-knit cooperation. They were all subordinate to the Queen. They all bowed down to the Queen. They worked cooperatively within the structure that was given to them. So, if we have that pure, unmotivated attitude within our society, then we will be free of anxiety, and this society will actually capture the entire world. Everyone will come and participate in this movement. But it's not going to happen unless we have this pure, unmotivated, uninterrupted spirit. So this is our duty, our responsibility, that each and every one of us should be an ideal example of purity. All of our thoughts, all of our words, and all of our deeds should be, we should always strive to make them 100% pure at every time, at every place, in every situation. If the more that we do that, the more we will be revolutionary. The impact that we will have on the atmosphere around us will be revolutionary to the extent that we are pure. It's not by any other means that you can. You may appear to have an impact by material expertise, but that will not stay. That will not last. But actual purity, complete submission to the orders of the spiritual master. You see, that actual purity will bring that tidal wave of love of God predicted by Krishna Das Kaviraj. So this verse is very important. Ahaituki Bhakti. It's such an important concept. I've named one of my disciples Ahaituki Bhakti Devi Dasi. It's a very important principle. Ahaituki Bhakti. Without any motivation. Simply to satisfy Krishna. Even Lord Jesus, he's praying the same way. He says, Father, may this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. He was foreseeing his imminent crucifixion. He was seeing, he knew what was coming. And he was thinking, may it not happen, but whatever you want, actually. If you want me to be crucified, all right, I'll do it. He was fully surrendered. That if you want me to be crucified, okay, I'll take it, whatever you give me. I see. So that we have to have this attitude of pure devotional service. Actually, for someone who sees like this in a very pure way, there's no such thing as a reverse condition. Every single situation is an impetus for increased attachment to Krishna. And the more you become attached to Krishna, the more you relish the nectar of Krishna consciousness. So, for one who is completely detached from material sense enjoyment, gross and subtle, every single moment is simply progressing deeper and deeper into the unlimited nectar of Krishna consciousness. Doesn't matter what's going on. He's like a businessman, an astute businessman. He knows how to always move his business forward. In all conditions of the market, he is expanding his business. How? When the prices go up, he sells. When the prices go down, he buys. In this way, he's always moving his business forward. It doesn't matter what's going on with the market. You see? An expert sailor, you see. Do you know that according to the laws of physics, with a certain type of sail, you can sail, you can use the wind to sail into the wind? Do you know that? Yes. Look it up on the internet, sailing into the wind. Just go to Google and type in sailing into the wind. And you'll be amazed. A sailor can sail anywhere. Doesn't matter which way the wind blows. You see? Similarly, with a certain type of sail, you can sail directly into the wind. Use the wind to sail into the wind. It's amazing. You can actually sail into the wind. Use that wind to go into the wind. So for an expert sailor, it doesn't matter which way the wind is blowing, he will achieve his desired direction. So in the same way, a transcendentalist, it doesn't matter whether it's a so-called positive or a so-called reverse situation in this world. He utilizes everything to move forward pure devotional service within his own heart and to promote it on this planet for all living entities, you see. To push forward this movement, this Krishna consciousness movement, he utilizes every single circumstance to push forward this movement. It doesn't matter what it may be. He knows the art of how to utilize everything to push forward the Krishna consciousness movement for the re-spiritualization of this misdirected, impious, so-called civilization. So we can ask now if there's any questions. Louder?
Tarun will have a question because he took all the notes.
Just asking, you're mentioning about unmotivated devotional service.
Yes.
If sometimes like we receive small praise like that, then we can develop a sense of false prestige. And
yes, yes.
What's the best way to avoid that?
Yes. Anytime you're praised, you should. As Prabhupada always, Prabhupada is the perfect answer for this, his example. He would say that, I have no credit whatsoever for this amazing thing that has happened, this worldwide Krishna consciousness movement. He said, but if I have any credit at all, it is that I strictly followed the orders of my Guru Maharaj. So anytime anyone praises you, you can say, actually, it is not my credit. It's just I'm following the instructions given by Srila Prabhupada. That's all. I'm following the instructions given in Srila Prabhupada's books. So it's all his credit, actually. Because I'm following the directions given in Prabhupada's books, therefore, there is because of that there is some success. Not that I have any great qualification. One should always realize that actually it's Krishna himself who's the hero of every episode. By his arrangement, everything is happening. Just like Arjuna in the Battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna told him, actually, Arjuna, they are already killed by me. Now you fight the battle and get the credit. Krishna is the one who actually deserves all the credit, but he would rather see his devotees glorified than he himself being glorified, as confirmed in the Adi Purana. Krishna wants his devotees to be glorified. It pleases Krishna to hear his devotees being glorified. Actually, he is the one that gets all the credit, but he doesn't want it. In transcendental circles, nobody wants the credit. You see, you give one devotee the credit, he'll give the credit to his guru, give credit to his guru. It's like nobody wants it, they just want to pass it to someone else, and finally you give the credit to Krishna, and he passes it down to the devotees. It just keeps going around. The credit is very fluid. It's a very fluid commodity in Vaishnava circles. Because everyone keeps passing it to someone else. No one wants to hold it. They hold it long enough to get a good grip and pass it to someone else. That's it. So that's the mood. We take the credit and then we pass it. We accept the credit because the devotees make it to accept credit is accepting a gift. And words of praise are a gift, a verbal gift. So we accept that so the devotee will have the opportunity to render Vaishnava Seva. At the same time, we don't keep it, we pass it on. Because we also want to get the credit of giving credit to the Vaishnavas and to Krishna. The more we can give credit, the more we get credit. That's another way of seeing it. The more you can worship and praise the Vaishnavas, the more Krishna recognizes you. Questions more?
Like you mentioned about complete satisfaction. Sometimes, like even though we say we want complete satisfaction, but do we really mean that? I mean, complete satisfaction means you have to fully surrender. But I mean, and if we're living in the modern society, like we have to work, we have this commitment, that commitment. How can we meet complete satisfaction at the same time fulfill our
yes. How can you fulfill your material duties in the material world and at the same time be completely satisfied? Well, one easy way to do it is you simply fully surrender to a bona fide spiritual master. And then you just do whatever he tells you to do, and then whatever you're doing is a purely spiritual duty because you're doing it on the order of your spiritual master. That's an easy way. That's the easiest way to do it. No longer acting on your own basis of any of your own material desires. If your spiritual master tells you to keep your job or to continue studying whatever you're doing in the material world, then you do that because it is an order received from the spiritual master. And you're detached. If he tells you to give up your job and give up and go to Vrindavan and simply sit on the bank of the Jamuna, you'll do that also. You see, if you're completely detached, you put yourself completely with full faith in the order of a bona fide spiritual master, then you can become totally satisfied, even if you're working a job, because you're doing it because your spiritual master ordered you to, and you're willing to give it up within a minute if he tells you. You see, that complete surrender to the spiritual master, that's the actual key. You see, and I'll do whatever Guru Maharaj orders me. That's all. I'm completely detached. That will give you complete satisfaction. And it doesn't matter if he tells you to work a job, go to school, you know, go open a preaching center in, Tibet. You see? You'll do whatever Guru Maharaj tells you. Therefore, you're completely satisfied because you have no independent agenda. You're simply wanting to serve the desires of your spiritual master. That's the easiest way. It's really the only way to do it. That's required. Guru is required. You must become disciple of a bona fide spiritual master. And that, of course, in ISKCON we have many who are purely representing Srila Prabhupada, and you can choose. But that's required. You have to be surrendered to a bona fide spiritual master. And then you can actually taste the sweetest nectar at every minute.
But sometimes, like working outside, it has an impact on the life. Like I found sometimes that you get too much engrossed in working outside, chanting gets affected, the whole conscious of serving the deities gets affected or something.
That means you're not seeing. Where do you work? What company?
The telecom company.
Telephone?
Yes.
That means you're not seeing through the eyes of Scripture. That's what you're not doing then, you see. You're supposed to see through the eyes of Scripture. When Monday morning when you go to the office, you have to see this is the energy of Krishna. This building is the energy of Krishna. My boss is a manifestation of Krishna, you see. Krishna says, I'm the ability in man. So you have to see all the ability that my supervisor has to manage our department is... It is actually Krishna. You have to learn how to see Krishna within your corporation.
He's a mediator. How can you see him as Krishna?
Because Krishna says, I am the ability in man.
But he's a mediator.
Krishna can even, he's the ability even in the mediators. That ability they have to manage is Krishna. That's stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Who can deny him? So you have to learn how to see Krishna within everything, and everything within Krishna. You have to make your meditation on Krishna uninterrupted, pratiyata, unbroken. And if you have to understand that if you're not able to keep yourself purely immersed in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day, that you have some material motives in your heart that are not allowing you to do that. You're trying to blame it on the job. But I'm telling you, it's not the job, it's your own material motives in the heart that are clouding your ability to stay fixed. If you're free of any motive, you can be always look at Bhaktivinoda Thakura. He was working a job for the British government. Very intense job he had as magistrate. His Krishna consciousness was not broken. You can't blame it on the job. That's not an excuse. It's your own lack of Krishna consciousness that's the problem. You have to intensify your own practice. Are you chanting 16 rounds regularly?
Yeah.
Are you initiated?
Yeah.
By?
Krishna.
Yes. So you have to increase your absorption in Krishna consciousness. You have to intensify your own Krishna consciousness. Are you married?
Yes.
How many, do you have any children?
Two kids.
What time do you get up in the morning?
It's about 4:45.
That's pretty late. What time do you go to bed at night?
10.
Why do you stay up so late?
I bring things.
Do you watch television?
No, not. Like by the time I come home, it's around about 6:30, and then get some things to finish up, and then gets light. Just spend some time with kids, and then complete some things for work.
And then what?
Complete some work.
Finish up some work.
So complete some things.
Oh. Well, you have to really, whatever you have to, do you stand 16 rounds before you leave for work every day?
No, I can't do that. That's my problem. I'm trying to do that.
Oh, that's your big problem.
Yes, I've been told about that. But
what I would do, if I were you in your situation, you need the, what I would do is get up very early, get those rounds in, and take a nap. You know, because you've gotten up earlier and your body may be a little tired. Now get up very early when you can really focus and concentrate on the holy names. Finish your rounds, read a little bit, and then take a little nap before you go to work. And recharge yourself so you're alert. I would do something like that if I were you.
I found that in the weekends, like, it's better. Like, I can do my rounds before I do anything else. And I can sort of...
You need to do that during the week also, by getting up early and then taking a little extra rest right before you go to work. I mean, that's one idea.
That's a good idea.
You have to do something. You got to intensify your sadhana. That's the problem. Your sadhana, you're not charging your battery sufficiently. You should be able to be fixed in Krishna consciousness all day long, nicely. Blissfully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, even while you're working your job.
Definitely, I'll try that
one. Just intensify that bhakti. Get that battery, get your batteries charged up better. You heard the lecture last night? No, that's what we were explaining last night. You have to charge your spiritual battery sufficiently. Your mobile phone, if you don't charge it sufficiently, it runs, goes dead during the middle of the day. So you're going spiritually dead in the middle of the day because you haven't charged your battery sufficiently in the morning. You need to intensify your morning program. Make it more strong, and then you'll be okay. Any other questions? Okay. We'll stop here. Kantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Srimad Prabhupada Ki Jai.